1000-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the BC. It is Sunday, the 15th of April, Anno Domini 2007. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
We'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use at 8 minutes after the hour.
Taxes are due today.
Yeah, does everyone have their taxes done?
Oh. No, not until Tuesday.
Is tomorrow
Tuesday.
The Massachusetts holiday again?
Right.
Oh,
it's tonight at midnight?
No, in Tuesday.
New York State, it's Tuesday.
Oh.
Where they're not due until the 17th
because today is Sunday. Patriots Day is tomorrow in Boston.
Right. In Massachusetts, it's Patriots Day, and they are the people who actually process our returns, so we get an extra day. We love the Massachusetts citizens. Having a problem there?
Well, you remember, remember a few years ago after our big ice storm in March, the IRS extended tax deadlines a couple of weeks, was it? Because they know so many people were without power for so long and weren't able to do their taxes or lost their records or whatnot.
Right.
Didn't something happen, a couple of weeks ago where the post office screwed up and people's taxes of some sort were late or something like that? Was that here? Was that here in New York?
I don't think it was.
No, I mean, not their income taxes, but there was something else that was late. I don't know.
Well, quarterly sales tax was due.
That might have been it. Yeah, that might have been it.
I went to the post office and they had this giant bin of pink envelopes going to New York. Or out in Albany, New York, wherever they processed it. Yeah. And yeah, I walk in. Can you postmark this today for me? Oh, sure. We've been doing that all day long.
Yeah, right.
Oops.
That's a horrible check to have to write. New York State makes more money than we do. They get 8%. We're lucky they get 4%.
Yeah. Well, we have one of the highest tax rates in the nation. But
well, what was really sneaky is Ontario County raised their sales tax at the end of last year. Ontario County is now 7 1/8% plus New York State. But apparently they never told anybody because we never found out until we're doing our quarterly taxes and the numbers aren't adding up. So that 1/8% raise we had to eat because you can't go back to all your customers and say, sorry.
Right.
Yeah. So now what I do is you go places, you check out the sales tax line and see if they've raised theirs to that 1/8% too.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's a big hassle, though, for a lot of computers. I mean, because if you got software, it was just like New York State there for a while. They were at 8.25% and then went back to 8%.
Up and down. Everyone's got to change their...
There's a lot of software and everything else. And then trying to correct that. So, you know, if you're in sales, you're only charging the person the right amount as far as sales tax. And then getting it back into that you report it correctly.
Right, right, right.
I mean, it's a logistic nightmare.
Steve, will you pass
me
that?
I'm getting an IP, but I'm not getting anything outbound either.
Ah, so it's not just me.
No, because both of you guys are flashing.
Thank you.
It's recent. Wow, this is just
this is radio. They can't see anything, thank goodness. The webcam ain't going.
All right, let's log into the router and hack the router, see what's going on.
Yeah, right. I don't know what the deal is here, but we're not connecting. Anybody who's there's anybody from Wham listening, we can't connect out at the moment. I don't know why that is. All right, listen, let's go to the phones. Although I can't do anything with that. That's too bad. Oh, all right. We don't care. Who's up first? John from Ontario?
Yeah.
Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How can I set a preference in Firefox that when I click on an email link, it'll default to Thunderbird rather than Outlook?
What you can do is you go into the control panel.
Right, you don't set that in Firefox. You set it in Internet Options.
Internet Options and under the Program tab. You say default email program, default mail
newsreader, default web browser, and uncheck the box in there that says IE should make sure it's the default one.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. That's why I couldn't find it.
Yep, because it's not there.
Because it's somewhere else, exactly.
Yeah, it's under programs, and it's the email program, and you just lower that down and... put in the Thunderbird.
What's weird is it's just the opposite on the Mac. It is in the Safari browser where you tell it what you want your default browser to be.
Well, another place you can also do it, if I remember correctly, if you Right click and you go.
Well, typically when you launch that program, it will say, do you want me to be your default program? And you say yes.
What you can do is if you right click on the.
That's not the default. That's just showing it on the start menu.
Right. Well, you can show.
Well, no, you can show it on the left and pick which one it is on the right.
You can change it.
So in the start menu properties.
What we're talking about here, we're kind of pointing here at the screen like you folks can see the screen. Can't. What if you, here's another way to, that when you click on the start bar, you know, you see your default email program in browser.
Yeah.
If you right click on the start button and you go, so you go to properties.
Yeah.
And then you click on custom. Right there on the custom screen is you can show on the main menu what you want to show for your email and your internet icons, too.
Yep.
So you can change that there.
Very good. And one other quick one. With Thunderbird, when you reply to a message, it has this annoying habit of setting the reply underneath the original one, which is not bad if you're replying to a short message, but if there's a string and people are used to seeing a reply on top of the page...
I greatly prefer my reply being under the quoted material, so you're reading through the quote to see what you're talking about before the reply is.
Yeah,
but that's often a male preference. But
some
programs you can't change it.
Yeah, you got to go into the options in under tools and options. And
reply above quote or reply below quote.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Well, the other side is only quote the little bit you want quoted. When you highlight a message and hit reply, it only quotes what you've highlighted. If you have nothing highlighted, it quotes the whole message.
Right, and that's just, you know, but if you're going to quote everything, that's just, you end up with a huge long. I've gotten emails from people that had the same message 14 times in the body, and they say, oh, read this, it's great, and you got to scroll all the way down to the bottom. I don't bother. Okay, you didn't care enough, I don't care enough. We're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you at 14 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham!
Good morning, everyone. I'm Glenn Lamberts in the Wham Newsroom.
Hey, it's Glenn Beck. Join me.
So we're going to have a series of weather-related songs now. Is that what the deal is?
I'm going to do my absolute best. You know what I'm saying?
And that's good enough for me. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 19 minutes after the hour, we are indeed Soundbites. I did not read the magnificent news story last time around. I should not skip this one. Apple has sold its 100 millionth iPod and is far outpacing its closest competitors, which have failed to make even a dent in the portable music player's popularity.
And that's only in 5 years, too, which is amazing.
Since its introduction in November of 2001, the iPod has spawned an ecosystem of accessories that include cases, earphones, home stereos, hardware for playing the device in the car, in your home, under your pillow, everywhere you can think of. In addition, it's driven the success of Apple's online music store, iTunes, which sells more music over the web than any other store. So,
did you talk about the big iTunes announcement last week ago? EMI?
Did we? Oh, yeah.
Apple and EMI have announced that they're unprotecting and raising the quality. That's almost bigger than taking the DRM off. They're going up to 256K encoding.
Right. So,
really
we talked
good.
About that. Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a nice thing all the way around. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jack from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Jack. What's your question?
Hi, Nick. I got a Windows 98 SE operating system, and I can't get it to boot up. I get a black screen, and it says bad file allocation table on drive C.
You got a hard drive that's going.
Oh, is that what
probably
it is?
It's a corrupt file, likely a hard drive failing. You might be able to do some repairs with the check disk /F.
Yeah, and the
that might work.
The repair the master boot.
Oh, yes. You know what I did? I tried to start it up in safe mode, you know, and it won't even do that.
Right. No, because try starting in DOS mode, and there's two commands you can type: chkdsk, check disk, /F will try to repair any damage it finds, and then check disk /MBR to repair
the master
boot record. That might work, but it may be indicating that your hard drive is beginning
to
fail.
But yeah, if your master file allocation table is shot, forget it.
I see. Thanks a lot, guys. You do a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Our next caller, Phil from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Phil. What's your question?
Good morning, guys.
guys. Enjoy the show.
Thanks.
I just got my wife a new desktop with Vista, and I'm having trouble hooking up to our wireless Linksys network that was used to be on XP. My machine's on XP, and her old desktop used to be on XP, but the new one's on Vista. I plugged in the adapter for the wireless and loaded in the software. It's still not working.
Is the software set up specifically for Vista? Do you have the Vista drivers?
No.
That's why.
Yeah, you've got to have the Vista drivers for that wireless
XP card. Drivers mostly don't work.
Right.
Okay.
Particularly when it comes to something like wireless.
So what you're going to have to do is go on your other machine that still does connect to the network.
Right.
Go to the webpage for that wireless card and look for
and
the
hope.
Yeah, and get the XP, the Vista drivers for that wireless card.
Okay, if they're not there, I'll have to buy a new Vista adapter.
Or wait until that company comes out with Vista drivers.
Yeah.
Most companies will say somewhere on their website when they hope to have drivers out, or there's some sort of Vista statement about Vista compatibility.
Right. Now, when I find them, if I do find them, can I just load them on my flash drive and then just transfer it to the desktop?
Yep, that should work.
Yep.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right.
And actually, that sort of brings up the other thing that happened is that class action suit against the Vista compatible badge.
Right.
I don't know how far it's gotten yet, but people are trying to file a class action suit. All the computers that have been sold in the last couple of years that say Vista compatible on them.
Yeah, we talked about that last week,
the
too.
The $99.
Yeah.
It's mostly, you know, bunk, but it's technically correct.
Yes.
Technically correct, and I guess that's what counts.
Yep.
All right, our next caller is Ed from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Morning, guys. When trying to boot up this morning, I get a black screen that says primary drive 1 not found, secondary drive 1 not found, F1 to continue, F2 to run setup. I've tried F2, but haven't had
How old is this machine?
About 2 to 3 years old.
Well, drive not found means one of two things.
Hard drive,
the drive has failed or the drive controller has failed.
Okay.
And if you go into setup, does it see the drive controller with no drives on it? Or does it not see the drive controller either?
Let's see.
So, yeah, you'll probably end up replacing one or the other.
Yeah, probably. Most likely, I bet you it's a hard drive.
Do you have two boot hard drives in the computer?
I don't know.
What type of machine is this?
Dell 2400.
Yeah, it's probably one hard drive, one optical drive. That's common.
The one
not finding both drives.
The reason I asked what type of machine it was is because we've been seeing a rash of e machines in the past 3 to 4 weeks that the motherboards are dying.
Yep. It's a $399 computer. When it breaks, you throw it away and buy a new one.
Yeah, but it sounds like it's either your controller card or your drive itself.
And most controller cards are built into the motherboard. You could add an IDE controller in one of your slots.
Right.
But what it
sounds like is it's time for somebody to take a look at that.
And the fact that it doesn't recognize either the hard drive or the optical drive points me toward the controller instead of the drive.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, when I press F1, I do get back in and it runs okay.
It boots up and runs?
Yeah.
It might be. Oh, you know what? It might be though. The battery. It could be.
Well, that's what I was leaning to at first.
The battery on the motherboard might need replacing. In other words, you're having it go when you go into the BIOS. It's finally detecting it. If it's not saving the settings, I mean, a battery change is very easy to do.
It's usually the CR2032.
Yeah, the 2032. You can pick one of those up. You got to take the.
If you have a voltmeter, you can, you know, it's what are the three volts?
Yeah.
You can check to see if your battery has voltage. So if everything boots fine after you continue, then maybe it is just the CMOS settings not saving where your hard drive is.
So it's just a simple thing like a CMOS battery to be replaced.
Okay.
All right.
We'll give it a try. Thanks for
giving it a shot.
All right. Thanks. Our next caller is Terry from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Terry. What's your question?
Good morning. It's not so much a question. I think you gave some misleading information to a guy who called earlier about using Thunderbird, and he wanted his reply to messages to come before rather than after the string.
Right.
We said you got to look in the options.
Yeah, well, you won't find it there.
Of course, because that would be logical.
Account settings.
Account settings?
Account settings.
What
and you click on the account settings.
What a silly place for it.
You click on the composition and address selection in that area.
Okay.
Well, all right. You. Excellent. Thank you, yeah. Terry.
Okay.
That's what we love about this is when we get people who actually answer questions for us. Eventually, we'll just.
I could have tried launching Thunderbird and find where it is too, but
yeah. Our next
it's
caller,
usually in preferences or options.
Yeah, well,
usually, right. Our next caller is Marty from Niagara Falls. Welcome, Marty. What's your question?
Good morning. How's everybody?
Good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing fine. Question with iTunes on an XP machine, and it's a Dell. So every time I put in a CD, it goes to the Dell Music Match instead of like iTunes. Mm-hmm. How can I get that to change its?
That's the default association table. Where is that setting these days? Well, one quick way is to reinstall iTunes, and then iTunes will say, "Do you want me to control all your audio?" Yeah. And say yes. That's probably easier than digging through the association
tables. It's the fastest
and
easiest way to do that. So do a reinstall of iTunes, and you should be fine with that. We have to take a quick break. But luckily for you, the mighty Glenn Lamberts will be in. We had a Glenn Lamberts special just a few minutes ago, but now it's the regular Glenn Lamberts show. All of you Lamberts groupies who missed the special will get to hear the full Lamberts report right now. We'll be back on the other side of all of that with more news and views and a lot more of your calls with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 28 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites. On 1180 WHAM.
Joint.
What does this have to do with weather?
Weather, yeah. Mm.
You answer the computer questions. I'll pick the music. You know what I'm saying? That's all you need to do. I'll worry about the rest.
We're starting to worry about you.
See, he's so desperate for a date, he's putting out that the price is
right. Oh, that's funny. Yeah,
thank you very much.
Hi-yo!
All right.
Try to feel.
Yeah, I'll be here all week.
You know, exactly. People think that I just give you guys so much crap on a weekly basis,
you
and
do.
They have no you idea do. What you do to me. That's fine.
We are
we
as polite to you as it's
you.
Possible to
Wait
be.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Who brought in homemade cookies?
You didn't bring them in for me.
Oh, excuse me?
Then you can't
them?
Have any more.
Who's been eating them all?
Who just came into the studio?
I have one, and the
once,
bag is empty. I'm
twice.
Only saying.
I know. You take care of me. Yes, by the way, I'm going to come in to get some more, so don't eat any.
Yeah. All right, before we get back to the phones, we should talk about Microsoft's .ANI patch. Those are animated cursors. Last week, Microsoft actually had an out-of-band patch for those things. They didn't even wait for Microsoft's monthly visitor. They patched them. That was such a bad hole that they patched them. Well, they're still dealing with problems with that patch, and Microsoft has fixed three more issues in a high-priority update. On April 3rd, they've issued a fix for that hot patch, for that problem, and a hot fix is basically a little small patch. And that hot fix actually was used to correct a problem in the emergency patch. So they had a problem with the ANI files, which they patched, then they had a hot fix to fix the patch. And the hotfix last week was released to deal with a problem stemming from some files in that patch and the operating system having conflicting base addresses. The problem, because of that, with computers that were running XP with Service Pack 2, the Realtek HD audio control panel had problems starting after the patch was installed and users got an illegal message, a message about an illegal system DLL relocation. So after that hotfix was dealt with on Tuesday, Microsoft updated the hotfix on Friday to deal with... Are you as confused as I am now?
Yeah.
Okay. But we had a problem. We had a fix. We had a hotfix for the fix. We had a hotfix for the hotfix for the fix. Then we had a hotfix for the hotfix for the hotfix
for
the fix. For the fix.
And on that same note, you know, they were coming out, tech support folks were giving out, finding out a new error code.
Yeah?
It's EBKAC.
Yeah?
EBKAC? Well, yeah. I've heard it PEBKAC. Problem.
PEBKAC, yeah.
Yeah.
Error between keyboard and chair.
Yeah. Problem exists between keyboard and chair, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well, and, absolutely.
And I'm getting a lot of it lately.
That makes me think of the new Apple commercial with the PC.
And the guy's on the tray?
Right, the cart full of PCs going in for repair. I started looking up all the error messages.
You know what's interesting is there's a backlash going on those commercials.
Yeah.
Because people think the Mac users are so smug
Yeah.
That there's a backlash against them now because of those commercials.
What's even worse is the UK ads. The Mac guy is even more smug.
He really is. I want to slap that one.
Well, those two are...
Japanese ads, the guy's very polite. But then the UK ads, the guy's just a son of a pup.
Well, those two guys are apparently a fairly famous British comedy duo. They know each other. They work together all the time. But yeah, he's really smug.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, there is the new bloated commercial. Have you seen that one where the PC is... in the giant suit because PCs are so full of trialware and demoware and stuff that expires. I don't like that one because, in a couple of places, because the Macs do come with some trial software also. They come with a trial of Microsoft Office and a trial of iWork. But one of the arguments about that was those are actually useful trial programs.
Well, right. But last week I gave a demonstration Tuesday night at the... at the Rochester Computer Society.
Well.
I had a great time. There were a lot of people there. Some folks actually joined up. It's the best $35 you'll spend in a year. But one of the guys was making that point. He said, I just got a new machine and 90% of what's on there. Because I was talking about, you know, with Linux, you get like 20,000 free programs.
Mm-hmm. And they're all useful.
Well, but the guy was saying, you know, I already get all that nonsense. He said, no. These are the full program, completely free of charge. His eyes lit up. He said, you're saying they're not demos? No, it's the real thing, and they're free, and you get them. He couldn't have been happier with that.
Yep. Well, let me also point out that this week is the Apple Cider Users Group meeting for Mac users. Because the schools closed last week, we moved our meeting ahead a week. So this week, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, East High School, we're going to be showing off the Apple TV box, which allows you to connect your Mac or Windows to your big screen TV and send your video from your computer to your TV.
Right.
A lot of people have their computer in like an office or a den, and their big screen TV is in a media room or basement home theater. And all the stuff you buy on iTunes, now you can stream it to your big screen TV very easily.
Cool. All right. We got time for a call now that we've been chit-chatting?
Oh, sure.
What does that mean? Is that a yes, a no, a maybe? Yes, we do. Thank you so much. Our next caller is Mike from Victor, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Morning, gentlemen. I just want to come out of the closet nationally and say I am a Glenn groupie.
All right, yes, and who isn't?
Yeah,
Glenn Lamberts has his own set of groupies.
He's a funny guy, and I have a whole plethora of questions, but I know you're quick. Can you guys get a daily show, for one?
We'd love to. Thank you.
Is that feasible? And for two, I got. I was wondering about the X drive there for storing information online. Is that how that works?
The which drive?
Isn't it called the X drive? I've seen pop-ups about it, advertisements and whatnot online. It's
It's an online storage company. There are several places like that out on the web, and that's what they do.
Are they secure?
That's a lovely question.
That's the theory.
Mm-hmm.
It is the theory. The theory is that anything you put there is yours and is not accessible to anybody else. But of course. Nothing is safe from subpoena in this country.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Apple has their own system called the iDisk, part of their .Mac program, an internet storage place.
Right.
It's really nice for off-site backup for critical important files.
In terms of actual, you know, hacked into, it's pretty secure. In terms of nobody can ever get at it, no, because of subpoena power. But in terms of day-to-day use, it's actually fairly secure. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. At 40 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Okay, I don't know this song at all.
It's one of those classics.
It's called Let It Rain. Rain.
Right, everyone knows the song, but you can never remember the name.
I don't know this song.
I do.
What is this, 60s bubblegum music? For Pete's sake. All right, we're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. And it's Eric Clapton.
Clapton, yeah.
It sounds like bubblegum music. At 44 minutes
after
the
hour. And what did you listen to when you were younger?
Mozart.
Yeah.
Mozart. At 44 minutes after the hour, Dr. Tooth. All right. Toshiba has gone on the offensive with a lawsuit and a trade complaint claiming 17 companies infringed on their DVD patents. The company and its American Consumer Products division filed a formal complaint Friday with the U.S. International Trade Commission. It wants to halt the manufacture and import of DVD players, recorders, and related products from 17 companies it claims infringe on its patents. The same day, Toshiba filed a lawsuit in the United States District Court for Northern California seeking financial damages from the same 17 companies. Toshiba claims that it licenses patents to meet DVD format specifications adopted by the DVD Forum, but the company doesn't have license agreements through Toshiba or the DVD 6C licensing group, and the companies are importing and selling products without permission. The DVD 6C licensing group represents 9 DVD technology and format developers and licenses DVD patents. It wants a court injunction to ban imports and distribution from the products of the United States. Places like Daewoo, JWin, Memcore, Dongguanxin, GVG Digital, these are places that you don't know the names of, but believe me, these guys do because they're the people they buy parts from. So we'll see where that all ends up.
Is this the current DVD standard or the new HD DVD standard? Does it mention?
No, it just says DVD.
Interesting. So if it's the old DVD standard, why did they wait so long?
Right.
If it's the new HD DVD standard, I could sort of guess that.
Right. Well, but they may have waited that long because they thought
they were working it out,
and then it didn't happen. So now they're suing. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Our next caller is Judy from Mendon, New York. Welcome, Judy. What's your question?
Morning, folks.
Morning.
Thank you for what you're doing with the show.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Really useful. I got a new laptop. Have wireless email, Outlook Express, got it set up finally, but there are no contacts in there, of course. So I exported the contacts from my old PC, the desktop, mm-hmm. which is running Windows 98,
mm-hmm.
and got it into the new one, and it works fine. Sent a message out. The problem with the old version is I can't bring up Outlook Express. It couldn't be started because msoe.dll couldn't be loaded, although it's there in the right place. So I figured, I'll deal with not having access to the messages that I need to. I'll worry about that later.
The old ones.
Yes. So I have sent email with the new system. That works fine. But now, since I brought the contacts over, sent one message, the cordless mouse won't work with the system at all. I don't know what sat on what to make it do that. Check the batteries. I figured,
I got to tell you, Judy, it's insanely unlikely.
The two
are related.
It doesn't make sense at all. But PCs to me don't make sense.
Well, right.
Now, when you flip the cordless mouse over, do you see the lights flashing on it?
The light isn't really flashing. It's on.
It's on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, is it Bluetooth or RF? Do you know? Is there a dongle that plugs into the computer to make the mouse talk, or is it built into the computer?
There's no dongle.
So it must be a Bluetooth mouse.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you've hit the reset buttons on both the receiver of the wireless mouse and the under part of the mouse?
Not on the receiver. I'm not sure. I did it on the mouse.
Yeah, that's with Bluetooth built into the computer. You often have to go into your Bluetooth setup utility and repair the external Bluetooth device.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And as far as the first issue, a lot of times you can import the mail and the contacts from the old identity folder, even if you can't run the old version of Outlook. If you can copy that identity folder onto the new computer. The new Outlook Express has an import command, and it might be able to import them. Or you can try a different email program like Thunderbird, which will definitely import mail from Outlook Express, and you may get your old mail and old contacts back.
Yeah, I was thinking of using Thunderbird now that I'm trying to get up to date. Because it's, I think it's a lot better. Okay, I did export and import the contact list, but now I'll go do the email.
Well, you may not be able to export them if the old Outlook won't run, but if you can copy the identity folder to the new computer, you may be able to import it from that identity.
Right. And we have to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. at 50 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. All right, now we're talking. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm David Ray.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. See, now I like.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on. German rap with classical beats.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
And you know what? Mozart would have loved that. He would have. All right, kiddies. It's time. Go get your footy jammies on. Grab your mug of hot cocoa. Sit in a semicircle around the rocking chair. And if we can manage to slap them away, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Oh, you guys. I got two things that I wanted to talk about this week. One is, believe it or not, and it's really catching on quite a bit here in the Rochester area, and the only reason I know this is, again, from one of my friends and my daughter, scrapbooking.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, evidently out in the Midwest, it's huge. And not only my daughter, but my two sisters, they get together with people and have these big scrapbook parties. Well, if you want to check out some great scrapbook stuff, I just happen, like I say, they were asking me about, oh, and I said, well, I've got a friend that does this.
Yeah.
And my friend Stan Feingold runs scrapsmart.com. You want to check it out. If you're into scrapbooking, you want to definitely check this site out because they literally have everything for scrapbooking. So here I was the big hero for my sisters.
And every week there's something new on the site. Every week.
Yeah, yeah, constantly adding stuff. So you might want to check that out.
I saw a TV show where they were talking about scrapbooking, and the new person brought her scrapbook in to show off, and they were sort of dismissing her. And, well, you've made a common mistake. That's a photo album, not a scrapbook.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to get into that was brought up and going around. This is a subject I just totally go off the wall on, and that's child porn. I'm going to say it very clearly, folks, that if you bring in a machine, and I don't want to hear any excuses, because I'll bet you $100, there is no way in hello that you're going to get child porn on your machine unless you go looking for it. You do not accidentally get emails or accidentally pop-ups taking you to child porn sites. You will get pop-ups in that for adult porn, but you will not, never, ever get stuff for
you
child
might find,
porn.
You might find one on somebody's machine or two because it can happen. But when you see 5, 10, 40, 100...
Not child porn. Child porn will that's such a tight group of
folks. Oh, I've gotten one. No, I have gotten them.
See, in all the years I've been doing we have never, because they're such a close.
Of course, I know enough to now not only delete the email, but I also go in and delete the cash and everything else.
Scrub everything, yeah.
But these folks that sit there, oh, it just accidentally, they just kept popping up. No, you got to go looking for this stuff. You got to go recruit them. They don't recruit you. And you even got to sign up for it. And some of the stories working with the sheriff's department and that I've learned, you know, what these sick minds do. So just to let you know, and I don't care if it was even my brother or sister or a relative, if I find it on your machine, I'm going to turn you in. Plain and simple, I don't tolerate it.
And it, well, and even
and with, that's right,
and that's right, and even with regular adult material, you know, we don't really want to see it. You know, well, if you have,
but
your,
it's not illegal, so right, we don't care. Right.
But if you have your wallpaper set to, you know, something, you know, change it before you bring it into the shop, please.
And the thing of it is, if you got that stuff on your machine, take it off, because the worst thing you could do is tell me, don't look at any of my pictures. Guess what I'm going to do?
But my picture manager program isn't working.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, right, right.
We had that
all right, we have to. All right, all right, all right. We're going to slap Dave back in his unconsciousness, and we'll be moving on. We got to take a break. The mighty Glenn Lamberts is in. Glenn, did you hear this show earlier? Your groupies were calling in.
Both of them?
Yeah, they were. Yes, as a matter of fact, that's exactly right. The Glenn Lamberts groupies were calling in. We're going to give Glenn a chance to to let his mellifluous voice and his dulcet tones wander across the airwaves. In the meantime, we'll be napping over here and restraining Dave. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Lint, and me, Nick Francesco, and you at 59 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Thousand-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray. And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 7 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Now, before we do anything else, have you heard about Adopt a Platoon? Started back in 1989 with a soldier who told his mother that some guys never received email. Now, it's a national nonprofit organization of volunteers just trying to keep our soldiers connected to their homeland through mail, socks, combs, soaps, cards, photos. Just letting them know we care and they're not forgotten.
Now, didn't Dear Abby do the same thing 30 years ago for Vietnam veterans with postal mail? Now
yes,
we've moved
she
to
did.
The forward and it's email.
Now it's email. That's right. And here's the deal. There's a local point of contact. Her name is Cheryl Christensen. She's Cheryl, C-H-E-R-Y-L, at adoptaplatoon.org. And she's looking for people to help out. And in particular, she's looking for laptops to send to the troops overseas so that they can connect. So I would really like it if you'd all take a look at any old machines you may have and see if you can get if you've got an old laptop, talk to Cheryl at adoptaplatoon.org. And she'll be happy to talk to you about this. We'll have that up in just a minute.
We just realized that Dave's computer is on the internet.
Right,
and
right.
And we could have been putting the stuff in.
Right. So it's Adopt a Platoon.
Okay.
Think. Yeah, we'll put it in.
We'll put it in. And it's Adopt a Platoon. It's adoptaplatoon.org. And you'll actually want to put her email address up in name because it won't work down there.
All right.
But put adoptaplatoon-cheryl at, and that'll work. All right. In the meantime, I will talk about what goes on at our website at soundbites.org. Except he stole it from me. No, you didn't. All right. I got it. Here it is. Interesting news item this week. Americans who sell items through internet auction sites could be in for an unpleasant surprise at tax time next year thanks to an IRS proposal designed to identify taxpayers who don't report income from those sales.
Which you're supposed to have been doing all along.
Right. The U.S. Treasury Department wants Congress to force auction sites like eBay, Amazon.com, and UBid to turn over the identities and social security numbers of a large portion of their sellers to the IRS so tax collectors know how much each person made through online sales. In the hopes of boosting tax revenues without increasing taxes, which is really what they want to do. They just want to get more tax money without actually asking us to increase taxes because that is political death. The federal government is considering cracking down on people who sell through online auction sites. The change would require e-commerce sites, large and small, to collect personal information such as social security numbers and could put a big strain on small web companies. The effort is part of a larger plan, which enjoys enthusiastic support from both Democrats and Republicans, to close what's known as the tax gap.
Yeah, you're supposed to be paying sales and use taxes on things you buy on the internet, you buy through mail order catalogs. You're supposed to be paying income tax on things that you sell.
Right.
But hardly anyone does, so there's a huge lost revenue there.
And the IRS believes that total is about $345 billion a year. And that's just for 2001.
And that's just income taxes, too. The states get together about lost sales tax revenue.
Right.
That, you know, you buy something online, that company doesn't collect New York State sales tax. You're supposed to pay it yourself, and there's a line on your income tax form for that.
Right. Right. Obviously, this proposal is likely to encounter stiff opposition from internet auction aficionados, free market advocates, and the auction websites themselves, not all of which are large enough to be able to comply with the rules without financial hardship.
That's typically been the issue with sales tax, too, is that there's 7,000 tax municipalities in the country. You know, here in Rochester, we have to work with five or six of them between Ontario County, Monroe County, Yates County, Livingston County. Right. Every county has their own sales tax.
Right.
And then so if the average small retailer was required to collect and distribute taxes for each county in the country, that's too big a burden, which is why currently if a store does not have a physical presence in a state, they don't collect tax for that state.
Right.
You're supposed to pay it yourself.
Right. All right. And so our stuff this week, our poll this week is, do you sell stuff online? And the choices are yes, no, and wow, you can sell stuff online. Since I have no internet connection, I can't tell you where it stands right now. But after you vote, at the bottom of the page, you'll see a yellow box. If you click the Give Us Your Opinion button, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
That's right, where you can then enter an opinion up to fewer than 256 characters, up to 255 characters. And you can give us your opinion on what you think about selling stuff online. So far, we've got 88 people who voted. So far, the vast majority of you, 74%, said no.
Where'd it go?
And 20% said yes.
You needed a choice for. I used to, but I don't anymore.
No, you had it. You're there. Click Give Us Your Opinion and go down. There it is. And then we've got four people who've left their opinion. All right. So we'll. It's very hard to let somebody else drive your internet connection. So we're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Bill from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
I'm getting a periodic beep on my computer, whether it's powered up or completely off. It's every 13 seconds. I get a faint single beep from the computer speaker. Computer seems to be working okay.
I've heard of thermal problems issuing a beep. I remember one of my computers started playing Fear Elise. What in the world? And that's
nice choice.
That was the thermal overload error sound that it played.
Nice.
But not for when it's turned off.
Well, turned off but still plugged into the wall. Most of the computers have a trickle charge running through them so they can still turn back on again.
If you actually unplug it from the wall, does it continue?
I don't think I've tried that. I turned the power strip off that it's plugged into, but no, I guess I
Well, that,
that.
That would because that, I'm just, that would do it.
Do you have, well, then there's the battery running it until the battery drains.
Yeah.
Do you, is this the internal computer speaker, or do you have external speakers plugged in?
It's the internal.
I'll try external, see what happens.
Stop that.
When I turn the externals on, I mean, I don't hear any beep at the same time or any other interesting sound.
So it's not feeding the audio out the external port.
Yeah.
The thing I would suggest you try first is check the manual for your motherboard. It may well be that this is an error message of some sort. For example, on many server motherboards, there is an option to check whether or not the case has been opened. And there's a case alarm that beeps regularly if the case has been opened until it is reset.
UPS. If the battery's low on your UPS, it'll beep.
Did you have any UPS?
Uninterruptible power supply?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Then I would check. I would start with your motherboard.
Yeah.
The manual for that. And check to see if, in fact, this is something like a case alarm.
Or a thermal alarm or an intrusion detector, intrusion alarm, something like that.
Right. But it's going to start with your motherboard's manual.
Okay. I was going to open the case and just see if everything was seated okay.
Well, that's not a bad thing to do. But, people would rather do dang near anything but read the manual.
RTFM.
But I'm afraid it's time. Right. RTFM, read the manual first.
And you may, by opening the case, find out that it's not really coming from the speaker. It's coming from a diode or a capacitor near the speaker, which would be a worse sign.
Would be way worse, actually.
Yeah.
It is a pretty faint beep. I think it's fainter than normal boot-up type beeps. But
Yeah, because usually if it's a motherboard issue or something like that, they're very distinct.
I think it's been there a long time. I only heard it this morning, but other family members said they've heard it for quite a while.
Every 13 seconds would be really annoying.
Are you sure it's in your computer?
I've tried turning everything off, and
No, are you sure it's in your computer? And my point here is, are you sure it's not your smoke alarm?
It's not.
Okay.
I just saw a thing on CNN where this, for the second time, this family found a kitten trapped inside their walls. And the fire department had to come in and, punch holes in all the drywall trying to find where this kitten was.
Yeah, kittens don't beep. I don't know if you've ever seen a kitten.
Well,
they actually kind of go, meow, after but it's not a beep.
Actually, we have 11 kittens.
Excellent.
From a really, really tiny mother.
Yeah. not so tiny while she was given them.
But, so we have quite a few kittens running around the house now. If anyone would like kittens, we have black ones and striped ones and gray ones and
friend
orange
of mine
ones. And
used to had Mama Gray, and she was prolific. Yeah. And they couldn't give them away, so they sold them.
Mm-hmm.
Put an ad in the paper selling them, and people pick them right up.
Yeah, free kittens doesn't work.
You got to pay. Yeah. You got to sell them.
Well, she had two of the first litter, four of the second litter, and now 11 in the third.
Yeah, I would get her spayed myself.
Because that we're waiting for them to wean the litter so we can get her spayed, and oh, crap, she's pregnant again.
Yeah, that, I know all
about
that.
There's that really short time between there.
Close the door. At any rate, Bill, the thing here is make sure it's actually coming from the computer, but you should also definitely read your manual and see what those beeps might mean. All right, our next caller is Tim from Greece, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
I have a question. I have a relatively new computer. It's running Windows XP, and it has a DVD burner on it, which I believe is the Samsung. And what happens is when I'm I have a couple of little problems with it, but one is that I got this DVD shrink program off the internet, and basically what that is bypass the copyright protection or whatever.
Yeah.
And when I tried to use that, when it goes into the where it's supposed to be decoding it, I guess they call it, or recoding it, and it's transferring it to the hard drive so that you can make a backup copy, it freezes up. And when it freezes, I mean, it freezes the entire computer, and I have to literally restart it. I can't do anything. The mouse doesn't work, nothing.
Well, that has nothing to do with the burner, of course. You're not even at the burner yet.
Yeah. Right.
So what it sounds like is either you got a bad copy of the DVD shrink program, or it's not designed to work with XP, or, in fact, you just got ripped off.
One of the problems is that it is illegal to bypass the copy protection on a DVD.
And Sony and theirs, they put it so you can't.
So the programs that try to do that are underground pirate programs that aren't necessarily written very well. So the fact that it doesn't work isn't surprising.
Okay, and that was basically my take on it as well. And then what happened was, and that's why I brought it up, because I just said, well, it's a bad program, no big deal, because it was free off the internet anyways. But then when I tried actually to use, because the computer, when it came loaded with Nero, and now I'm trying to copy a non-copyrighted disc.
Yeah, but here's the problem. DVD shrink has screwed everything else up.
Okay.
So what you need to do is reload all your legitimate program. Uninstall DVD shrink first. Next, make sure you've got all your other stuff. Reload all your other things, Nero and all of that stuff.
And
this is one of the problems with using pirated software. When it screws stuff up,
There's a fight between the legal right to make a backup copy and the illegal breaking the copy protection on a DVD.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 20 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now at 2...
Bite your tongue.
Let it snow, let it snow. It's going to snow for the next few days, as a matter of fact. Either that or you're just a big fan of the Die Hard movies. Listen, we're back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites.
There's a new Die Hard movie coming out, too.
That's right. Live Free or Die Hard. And if you've seen the initial poster, it's entirely generic.
Yeah.
It's Bruce Willis in a shirt and a thing looking mean. It's like it could have come from any
That's
movie.
That's any Bruce Willis ever. Movie.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Google said it has agreed to buy online advertising company DoubleClick for $3.1 billion in cash.
Now where's Google getting all this cash?
Google has more cash than Croesus. They have more money than they know what to do with. They are the most cash-rich company in the known universe. The acquisition will give Google the ability to sell online ads that appear on websites other than those in its network. The deal will mean that website publishers will get access to new advertisers, and agencies and advertisers will be able to manage search and display ads in one centralized spot. This is kind of a double thing for me. I really like Google. I use their ad stuff myself. I've actually made a nickel off it here and there, but I'm not a big fan of DoubleClick since they do more tracking.
Sort of.
So, you know, we think of DoubleClick as an evil place, but Google's motto is we're not evil. Yeah. And so I don't know quite how that well, I guess we're not evil except for some of our acquisitions. Maybe yeah. That's how that works.
Well, the irony here is now that other search engines like Yahoo and MSN are going to be paying Google for their ads.
Right. Yeah, so we'll see how that works. I'm sure it'll work great for Google. They're not stupid. And so we'll see how that goes. Our next caller is Dominic from Greece, New York. Welcome, Dominic. What's your question?
How you guys doing? Before I get started here, I just want to thank you very much for the Security Tango. It's kept my dead machines up and running. It's a great thing.
It's our pleasure. Thank you very much.
All righty. Well, my small 40-gig hard drive got too small for my machine, and I bought a 250-gig Western Digital hard drive. Comes with a thing called Data Lifeguard Tools, and it's supposed to be able to migrate all your stuff from one hard drive to another, because I didn't want to use it as like the main hard drive. You know, I didn't want to keep my old hard drive. But basically, my System Restore doesn't work, and I would like that working because I have a daughter that likes to game on the computer, and eventually I have to just fix that.
What model computer is it?
It is an HP, so it does have
that's
like
the problem.
Drive that,
yeah,
okay. Yeah, it's an invisible partition you don't normally see. There's three of them there. There's an invisible one that you boot into to tell it to use the D drive to
which is the restore section.
So you need to do a binary copy of partition by partition
onto
that new drive.
That
yeah, something like Ghost would do that. The other problem, too, is depending on what the age of the computer is, the ATA 5 specification limits you to 127 gigabyte hard drive. So,
yeah, I'm aware of that.
Okay, so that was a big thing we started with the 250s.
Is there a freeware that'll do the binary copy or?
No.
Not that I know of.
Not one that I'd trust.
Well, the other thing you can probably do, it might cost a few bucks, is email, get on HP's website. You can order a restored disk so that you don't need that restore partition anymore. And in fact, that restore partition may let you make a restore disk.
Yeah.
In the
menus, if you go to start, go to programs, and under the HP, it should allow you to make the recovery CDs or DVDs.
Okay. Assuming you have a burner.
Yep.
And I do.
There you go.
Yep.
Now, that's always good to know before the drive fails and you have to replace it.
Yeah.
Right,
we've had several, because it's usually like 30, 40 bucks to order replacement disks from the companies.
Mm-hmm. Right. So for all those of you who are listening,
if you do not have a physical CD-DVD copy of your operating system and drivers.
Right. And you're one of those people who never backs up. This is a separate issue. System Restore will wipe out everything you've got, everything, anything that you have saved to the drive, all your emails, all your documents, all your pictures, everything, gone. That's what System Restore does. But if you need to restore your system for some reason, it's good to have that CD, so make sure you've got it or you can create it. Secondly, that won't save you from a crash. You still need to do backups. So make sure you continue to back up your system.
And Dell doesn't, matter of fact, they haven't in the past year and a half included the operating system with their machines, nor a way to create backup copies. They want you, the way they get their price down is not include it. It's nothing illegal. They just give you the license because that's technically all you're doing is renting that. That if you your machine crashes, you have to pay them $50 to $75 to get the replacement CDs or DVDs to reload your machine.
And that's one of the ways that companies have dropped their prices. You know, an individual disc or two doesn't sound like much. You know, it's like sometimes they're free after rebate when you buy blank discs. But you look at the big computer companies and multiply that by, you know, tens of millions of computers sold.
The time and effort it takes to burn all those.
That's a big savings for the company by not including them.
Right.
You remember the early, was it Windows 98? No, Windows 95. Several companies were selling a Windows 95 restore kit. It was a box of 20 blank floppies.
Yep.
And that, so you could create your Windows 95 restore disks.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I remember we had many faculty who used to ask for, two boxes of floppies so they could create restore disks.
Yep.
And that used to be such a pain. I'd go to
and disk 15 would fail.
Yes,
yes.
That's what I was going to say. Right in the middle.
It wouldn't be one or two. It would be one near the end.
Yeah,
right, exactly. All right, we're back to the phones, and we're talking to John from Hilton, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Having some issues, audio issues with some music and video files. The audio seems to be like a couple seconds behind. Like if I try to listen to you guys online, you guys come in pretty like distorted. And that's all of a sudden it seemed to happen.
Well, there's a couple of issues there. One is that the WAM stream seems to have some issues. And there's a problem between the delays that's built into radio and then the commercials that air that you often miss some of the show,
too. But if it used to work and now it doesn't?
Yeah, basically the sound quality. It's almost like the speed of it's like a couple seconds. You know, you guys are coming to, like, work. Or if I listen to, music videos from YouTube.
Right. So it used to work and now it doesn't.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, I have...
I'm sorry, is that a yes or no?
It does, yeah.
It used to work.
It used to work.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden it didn't. And I have XP, Home Edition, and I upgraded that to Service Pack 2, and it almost seemed to happen just about that time.
How much memory does the computer have?
It's 256.
That's why.
That's part of it, certainly.
And that would have made it worse when you put SP2 on, which needs more memory.
And
512 minimum, 1024 is better.
And the Internet Explorer 7.0.
If that got put on, too.
It did, yep. I just updated that.
With the 256.
And it may also have downgraded some of your audio drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So one of the things, so here's what you want to do first. First, get a gig of RAM in that machine at a minimum.
Okay.
Secondly, check all of your video and audio drivers to make sure, you know, the video card driver, the audio card driver, to make sure that you're running the latest ones. Go to the website, download their latest ones, even if they're what you think you already had, and install those.
One of the things I would suggest that you could try, which would be a real quick one and cheap, is to first uninstall Internet Explorer 7.0. Worst case scenario, if it doesn't correct it, you can always reinstall it.
Okay.
But I would try undoing Internet Explorer 7.0 because that has been known to cause audio issues.
Has it? Okay.
So,
yeah, that makes sense.
You know, it's a quick one. You can do that in 10 minutes. Uninstall it. Try it for a little bit. See if it works.
Try a 6.
Scenario, you do another download.
Or
big
download
deal.
Firefox and try that instead of Internet Explorer.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, you still got uninstall 7, though.
Yeah.
And then up my memory, too. If
yes.
That
absolutely up your memory.
Yep.
Okay. Even if it does work.
Yep.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Our next caller, Linda from Greece, New York. Hi, Linda, what's up?
Hi, Nick, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I got a response to the guy who had DVD shrink.
Yeah.
And I've got a question, too. A friend of mine had DVD shrink. It ruined his computer, and he also got an email saying that if you continue to use it, we will prosecute you.
Yeah.
So tell the guy to get rid of it, and yes, wipe your whole computer out like it's brand new. He says because his computer didn't work after that.
Yep. That's
okay.
Just one of those programs that, you know, you're downloading something that's not legal to begin with.
And as we mentioned as we were going to break, you have the legal right to make a backup copy of something.
Right.
And that's in the Copyright Act. However, the copy protection on a DVD, it is illegal to bypass that copy protection.
Yeah.
So there's this big argument between the two legal rights, and the users are screwed in the end.
But it scared him when he got the email.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay, my question's for Steve.
Yep.
Okay, Steve, I have a brand new computer. It's about a couple weeks old, and I had it built because I wanted Windows XP on it. Okay, I put iTunes on it, put all my music on it, you know, all my videos and everything. I went to turn it on one day and go back in there. Now, I haven't done anything, and it was gone. Why did the music all of a sudden disappear?
iTunes lost track of all of your files or just some of them?
All of them.
It probably got pointed to the wrong user directory. iTunes creates an iTunes music folder in, I think it's in the My Music folder in the My Documents.
Yeah.
And if the music gets moved or iTunes is told a different folder, then it can end up to be an empty folder because it'll make a new one.
Gotcha.
So some and that would happen if you logged on as a different user.
Right.
I'm the administrator. I'm the only one.
Right. Each user has their own separate iTunes folder as well. So what we see a lot of people will accidentally do is they'll find that iTunes music folder and move it somewhere so they know where it is.
Uh-huh.
But now iTunes doesn't know where it is, and it makes a new empty one.
You know something? I did that.
There you go.
So you can go into iTunes and into Preferences. There is I think it's under Advanced. You can tell iTunes where your music folder really is.
And that's a good idea if you have more than one drive, small C drive, a big D drive.
People on laptops do that a lot because the laptop drives are so small. Get an external drive, and you can throw all your music, and especially the movies and video, which are huge.
Right, and you don't necessarily need all those while you're traveling.
Right.
Right.
Can I ask one more quick one? I just got an external hard drive. Okay, now how do I copy? I don't want to move it. How do I copy the music to the external hard drive and still leave it on there?
Drag the folder from your internal drive to the external drive.
Right. If you're moving from one drive to another, that's a copy, not a move.
Or you can right-click on it and say copy.
Well, if you right-drag, then there's a specific command that will say move here or copy here.
Right. If you hold down the right mouse button, drag and let go, you'll get a menu that says copy, move, whatever, and you can select copy. So that's the easy way to do that. Our next caller is John from Scottsville, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Taking my call. Just a quick bit of advice, possibly for the guy that was having the beeping problem. My mother had a similar problem with her. I believe it was a Compaq. And my brother, who is Mr. Wizard with computers, replaced the keyboard. I don't know how.
If
he knew
key is stuck down, you'll get a beep out of the keyboard buffer error. But when the computer's turned off, you shouldn't get that.
I don't remember if it was on, off, or otherwise, but I know
it's not a bad thought.
Not a bad thought.
And weeks, and he found it real quick.
We see that happen. In fact, it happened to me at a customer site this week. Someone will set down a notebook or a notepad and accidentally push down a couple of keys on their keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Easy thing to check.
Easy thing to check.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, it was a very weird one. He would click.
A good one, Jeff.
He would click his QuickBooks icon, and Firefox launched.
And Eric Clapton music is not bubblegum music.
I didn't say it was. I said that particular song sounded like it to me.
Sorry.
You know what's interesting is that J.J. Cale wrote all of Eric Clapton's hits.
That's right.
And now he's out on tour by himself, and he's this guy you've never heard of, but he wrote all of Clapton's hits.
Yeah, right.
He's awesome. Have a good day. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, John.
Also, he wrote Knock 3 times on the Ceiling. Anyway.
Now, Tony Orlando and Don. Yeah, find Tony Orlando in there, Rob.
There you go. All right, here we are. I take it that means we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob. Oh, look, I've got all this music. Linton and me, Nick Francesco. There we go.
Hey, girl, what you doing down there? Dancing alone every
night. Are you happy now?
I live right above.
Look at the smile on his face.
I just love having access to like 8 million songs so quickly. You name that tune,
time.
I got
now,
it.
See that? You've got it. It's that easy.
Yeah, going
for
back
you.
To iTunes, that's one of the bragging rights on iTunes is how many songs in your library and how long it will play without repeating.
Okay, he's got 8 million.
Yeah. Can anyone
he
beat
wins.
That?
Yeah. I'm sorry, but he wins. All right, we're going to take a break. We said that already. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 40 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Sound Bites All Music All the Time program on 1180 WHAM.
On the pipe means you ain't gonna show.
not the music. It's watching Rob dance.
I forget that there's now cameras in here.
Yeah.
But we don't think they work yet.
I don't think they're working yet.
I don't think they're on yet. It's a scary thought. Link.
Yeah, there's no button on the website yet.
Yeah, there's no link. So you can keep dancing.
There's signs all over that says, we're watching.
Yeah. But there's no actual...
Yeah, hey, that's it. Maybe it's not a public webcam. Maybe it's a management webcam.
Corporate's watching us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And 45 minutes after the hour you're listening to, and if you're privileged enough, watching Sound Bites.
Casey in the sunshine.
Look at him. Get down. Get funky. Get up. Take a shower. All right. Apple says it will not release Mac OS 10 10.5 Leopard. Can you guys shorten that just a little?
Well, they used to have code names and then numbers, and somewhere around 10.2, the code name stuck. So now let's see.
Mac OS 10 10.5 Leopard. There's at least a redundant 10 in there, if nothing else.
Well, the OS 10 is the brand, and a lot of people have remarked about that. You know, 10.1 came out. It was a huge update. It should have been a 0.5, not a 0.1. And they've said that for pretty much every update. But Apple has put so much money and effort into branding OS 10 that they don't want to go to 11 yet.
Right.
So it's OS 10 version 10.5, codenamed Leopard.
My operating system goes to 11.
Yeah.
Which is the next version of their operating system. It doesn't look like Apple's going to release that by mid-June as planned. Right now, they are blaming the delay on the iPhone, but if you wander around the net often enough, they will tell you it's because of all the secret features that are supposed to be added to Leopard that are keeping it from being released.
That was one of the points about releasing it in June, because that's when the developer conference is. Every year, Apple has their worldwide developer conference, where they tell the developers what all these cool features are so they can write it into their programs so that we, the public, see them.
Right.
If they don't tell the developers, how are they going to get into the public?
Right. Tain't going to happen. But in the meantime, the latest unconfirmed rumors say that the iPhone shipping date will be June 11th.
Which is the first day of WWDC.
But now Apple is saying that it won't ship until late June. And so the iPhone will come out. The phone does come with a touchscreen and a music player. So we'll keep you up to date on that. Of course, this is a problem for Boot Camp users. Because Boot Camp, I don't know if you remember, those of you who are using Boot Camp, that's the thing that allows you to boot into either Windows or OS 10, 10.2.
10.4 point something.
Yeah. You can either boot into OS 10 or into Windows. You may not remember this, but Boot Camp is beta software, and that program expires on September 30th, which is almost guaranteed to be before Leopard ships. So unless there is a patch to Boot Camp to keep it running longer, it stops working September 30th.
Well, not specifically. The Boot Camp Assistant stops working. The Boot Camp functionality won't stop working.
You sure?
Yeah. It says that in the deep tech notes somewhere.
The deep tech notes.
But all they have to do is release a new version of Boot Camp that extends the beta.
That's what I'm saying. Unless there's a patch or an update or whatever, that's...
They did just... A new version of Boot Camp did come out last week.
1.2.
That now supports Vista and comes with Vista drivers for the Mac stuff. So you can install... Vista. And then the other major way to run Windows on your Mac is from Parallels, which is virtualization. It lets you run Windows beside your Mac instead of needing to reboot. Boot Camp is faster because you are rebooting. You get the whole hardware. Parallels is more convenient because they run side by side. The new version of Parallels has a neat feature where you can point Parallels to your Boot Camp directory. Because before, if you wanted to run both, you had to install Windows twice, once for Parallels, once for Boot Camp. And that got to be problematic in Windows licensing issues.
Right.
So now you can install it once and point to both places. The other big annoyance that has cropped up is that Microsoft's licensing for Windows Vista Home prevents you from running it under virtualization. Because that's a business use. You shouldn't want to do that.
Right.
And people are saying that's just to force you to buy the $300 version.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We've got some folks on the line. We'll get to them when we come back at 49 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
It's Disco Hour.
And at 53 minutes after the hour, we're staying alive on Soundbites, and we're going back to the phones. Marcy from Scottsville. Welcome, Marcy. What's your question?
Well, I've got a problem. When I upgraded to Windows XP from 98 SE, Media Player stopped working. I can run Reel. I can copy and record in any other program. Media Player won't work, which is a problem when I want to listen to some things online because sometimes all they default to is Media Player.
What version of Media Player do you have?
Whatever came with XP.
No, XP doesn't come with Media Player, does it? You have to download it separately.
Right, yeah, download it.
The current version is 10. And it may be that you've got like a 6 or 7 that came with 98.
Right.
You can download the newest version from Microsoft's website.
Yeah, did you download, you got Service Pack 2 on
That's
there?
That's an optional download. It's not an automatic.
Oh, okay, because maybe I didn't download the latest one. But no, I do have Service Pack 2, I think.
All right, yeah, because if you go start up Internet Explorer, and up at the top there is, under Tools, is Windows Update.
Mm-hmm.
If you click on that, that'll take you to the Windows Update page and look for any of the media updates.
But Media Player is not a critical update. It's an optional update.
Right.
Oh, I haven't been looking on those.
Yeah, look under that. You'll find Media Player 10. Download it, install it. You're good to go.
Ooh, I'll give that a shot.
Although there's other issues with Media Player 10 we've been hearing. A lot of people are sticking at 9.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things is you have to have a lot of RAM.
Yeah.
You know, we're back to that. You got to have a minimum of a gigabyte of RAM.
Raising the price of poker.
That's exactly it. Our next caller is Gil from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gil. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Good show as ever.
Thank you.
Had a question about laptops and Vista. So I haven't bought a laptop in a while, but a friend of mine is looking to buy one, and I'm thinking about it myself. And so I wandered into one of the local stores and asked a couple of questions. But one thing that really disturbed me was one of the comments that I got was that machines that come with Vista, or at least some of the manufacturers, are not making drivers for, like, Windows XP or something of the sort. So, you know, it seems as though you could not get drivers should you desire to put XP on it.
Right.
My friend,
they come only with Vista drivers.
Yeah, but can you get drivers for XP?
Sometimes.
It depends
on how new the hardware is.
Right.
They may not make a driver, especially for a built-in
laptop.
You
get into this catch-22 thing. If you've got really old hardware, there may not be drivers for new operating systems. If you have really, really new hardware, there may not be drivers for old operating systems.
Right, but you should be able to right now, at this point in time, get in any laptop out there that should either handle XP or Vista.
Some of the companies still give you a choice.
Now, one of the things you have to be really aware of is that if you've got a shared video memory card, a shared memory video card.
Which in a laptop you wouldn't.
You almost always get over the $1,000 mark.
Right. Then you are going to find your Vista experience is sluggish and horribly slow.
You want
dedicated memory for your video. And if you only get shared memory, your Vista experience will be slow. You can't do any of that really fancy stuff.
There's a new word. They're not using shared anymore. What are they calling it?
I don't care what they call it. That's what it is.
Right, it is. Yeah, but when you look on the specs for shared, they don't use the word shared anymore.
I don't know what the new word is.
You want dedicated video, integrated video maybe?
Maybe integrated.
Integrated,
yeah, you want
yes.
dedicated video memory.
Not integrated.
Right. You want dedicated video. All right, we've got about 1 minute?
But like I say, though...
All right, real quickly, who's this?
That was him.
That's it, it's gone. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, what I'm seeing, though, on more and more, like Acer and a number of the other companies, though, because of Vista and its requirements, are going to separate video cards. ATI, Radeon seem to be the ones that they're going with, so...
NVIDIA.
Well, that's been a huge shakeup when AMD bought ATI. You know, can Intel use ATI chips anymore? They may not want to, even if
they could. NVIDIA better. That's because they make open source drivers.
Yeah.
That's just me. You want to be very careful when you're buying a Vista machine. I have a machine at work that I'm running Vista on. The Vista Experience, you can run that thing, this is Vista Experience 1.0. Upgraded the drivers, I got to a 3.2. just the video drivers, changing those, tripled, more than tripled my Vista experience.
They have a Vista compatibility thing now, too, to tell you what you need to run Vista.
Right. Well, but that's, again, now you're back to 1.0.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the reality is that you're not going to be happy with a 1.0 Vista experience.
Especially for games.
You can't run games at 1.0.
Maybe solitaire.
Maybe solitaire. But it's tough. All right, we are done for another week. This 2 hour thing went fast. Then again, I had a lot of coffee. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, the man with the library. I'm Nick Francesco, and the man who ate most of the cookies.
Yeah. What, we got to bring more for you?
I got the last cookie. I just want to say I got the last chocolate chip cookie.
I'll bring some
more
next week.
Dave made chocolate chip cookies. Rob's going to put his order, seven dozen chocolate chip cookies for him, seven dozen rum balls for Steve. We're done for another week. We want to thank everybody who called in, apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Join us in the forums, join us online, join us at AskNick.com. Doggone it, you're good. We'll be back next week on WHAM 1180.com.